As promised last week, today we are going to talk about protocol. And therefore, what I did last week is I asked that please try and be on time this week, because I'm going to say certain things. And when I say that certain things, I don't want you to think, okay, but now he's talking to me, because he saw me coming in late and now he's referring to me. I just want you to know that when you sit in the front here, you're facing that way. So you can't see what time who is walking in. So don't think that I'm referring to you when we get to that. But before we get there, I just want you to know that Jesus really loves you. You know, John 3:16, it says that for God so loved the obedience, perfect Christians. It says, for God so loved the world. Meaning that what he's saying there is, you know, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. So what he's saying there is, he's telling us, listen, while you were not worshiping me, while you didn't want to have anything to do with me, while your life was full of sin, while you were in that place, while your back was turned on me, I loved you so much that I've sent my son to die in your place to have a relationship with you. That's what he's saying. And so often what we think is, but we need to be sorted out. We think, but, you know, my life needs to be perfect and no sin in my life and everything needs to be in place for me to be able to get to God. But it says, for God so loved the world. So there's nothing that you can do to earn his love. He loves you the way you are. And he don't love certain people more than others. He loves us all the same. So I'm just saying that now in the beginning, that so that you can know that don't think that there's anything you can do to earn God's love. He loves you the way you are. And maybe later today during the sermon, you'll hear certain things and you realize, but yes, I'm missing it on a couple of places. And when we get there, I want you to realize that God still loves you the way you are. It doesn't matter. He still loves you. Because you see, so often what will happen is God will try and reveal something to us. He'll like to shine his light upon us, so that we can see what's in our hearts, so that we can change to come closer to him. And what the devil would like to do in that place is he'll try to condemn you. He'll try to tell you, see, you're not good enough. God don't love you, but that's not true. God loves you the way you are. God loves you with your sin and everything in your life. God still loves you. So, the thing is, there's a certain trend in church these days, and it's not only here, it's in all churches. If you talk to pastors, they'll all say exactly the same thing. We see this trend in church these days. And I also noticed that, and you see this trend, and you think by yourself, but why is this happening? Why is it like this? And I think then you get to a place where you think about it and you realize that maybe people don't know. Maybe we do certain things in our lives a certain way because we don't know any better. Because no one told us or taught us how it was supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we do things and our intention is not necessarily to do it a certain way, but that's what we do. And that's honestly what I believe, is that these trends are in churches these days because we don't realize, and because we don't know. And therefore, this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And but before we get there, we're just going to take a step back, a big step back. You know, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth. And when Jesus walked on this earth, people had a certain expectation of Jesus. You know, the most of the people in the time of Jesus when he was on earth Remember, he came to brought us salvation. He came to buy our freedom more than anything else. That's why he came. But the expectation that people had from Jesus is they were looking for a king. Not a king so that their sins can be forgiven, but a king to make them free from the Romeinse Reich, the Roman Empire. That's what people were looking for. Because people were really struggling under the Romans. So when Jesus came, they thought, but this guy, he's going to be our savior. Not for our sins, but he's going to save us from the Roman Empire. He's going to overthrow governments. This is what he's going to do. So that was the expectation that people had about Jesus. And as time goes on, Jesus did not fulfill that expectation. Because that's not what he came for. So what happened? People started to talk negative about him. People didn't want to have to do anything to do with him. People started to slander him. And in the end, they crucified him. Why? Expectations. They had a wrong expectation about Jesus. So they were looking for something and they did not receive that. So in the end, they crucified him. And remember, it wasn't the Romans that went out to find Jesus so that they could crucify him. It was his own people, his own nation. Some of them, the people that was following him, crucified him. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. His own people. And all of that because of expectations. So I want you to realize the influence of expectations on our lives. You see, so often in friendships, in marriages, in business, when you go to between partners, or maybe when you go to you get a new job and you start a new job. So often what you see, it ends up in disaster because of expectations. Because that expectations wasn't managed. They never got to a place where they told each other, listen, this is my expectation from you, and this is what you can expect from me. So often people don't get to that place. So what happens is I've got a certain expectation about you, and you've got a certain expectation about me. But it wasn't managed. We didn't talk about it. We never got to that point. And then it always ends in disaster. And therefore, it's so important for us to manage our expectations. Now, if we look at scriptures, what we see is that the same Jesus that walked this earth 2,000 years ago still walks this earth today through the church. Did you know that he refers to the church as his body? Did you know that when he talks about the church as his body, what he also says is he refers to himself as the head of his church? So in a way, what happens is the church today represents Jesus. And did you know that the same as 2,000 years ago, still today, people got a wrong expectation about his body. Did you know that even today, same as 2,000 years ago, because of a wrong expectation of his body, people slander his body, that they talk negative about his body, the church, and that they want to put him on the cross again. That they want to crucify him again. Not the world. The people in church. The ones following Christ. Today, put him back on the cross. I know this is a hard word to receive. But I just got a vision this past week about this. Where God says, but they're doing the same thing again. The same thing that happened to me 2,000 years ago is happening again. Again by my own people. The ones following me, the ones saying they love me. Again, they're going out to slander me, and again, they want to crucify me. And therefore, it's so important for us to realize when it comes to that point of church, and I'm not talking about Shofar, I'm talking about church. I don't care what church you are in and that kind of stuff, but we don't walk around talking bad about church, because the moment you do that, what you actually are doing is you're walking around talking bad about Jesus. Because it's His body. He's the head of it. And you see the thing, when it gets to this topic, and you think about church, now we can say, yeah, but you see, the church where I come from, and I mean all of us, I said that in my past. The church where I came from, and I could name up a couple of things. But you know what? His body, the body of Jesus Christ, His church is not perfect. You know why it's not perfect? Because me and you are part of it. And we're not perfect. And you know, when He chose to make us part of His body, He knew that we weren't going to be perfect. So He said to Himself, I'll receive you just the way you are. You can come to me, you can become part of my body with all your sins, with everything from the past. You can come to me. I'm inviting you to become part of my body, just the way you are. You don't have to be perfect. So He knew we were going to make mistakes. He knew it. And still He invited us to become part of His body. But so often we don't have the same grace for each other that He's got for us. So it's so quick for us to get offended about things and to walk out and to start to slander His body. And God is calling us away from that place. So when it comes to expectations, I think we need to ask the question this morning. So what is my expectation of church? What do I expect from church? Is my expectation right or is it wrong? Because if I've got the wrong expectation about church, it's going to end in disaster. But if I've got the right expectation of church, then something good can come out of it. So what I want to do is I want us to go to Scripture, because I'm not going to make up something of the purpose of church. We're going to look at the Bible, and what does the Bible say? What's the purpose of church? You can open at Ephesians 4 from verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. What for? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That verse 12, it says, so what's it for? It's to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building me up. So what, is that what it says? No. It says for building up the body of Christ. See, church is not there for me. I'm there for the church. And so often we've got a wrong expectation of church. Because what we think is, no, with church, what's going to happen is I'm going to go there and they must build me up. I'm going to go there and with the worship and stuff, I want that nice fussy feeling on the inside. That's not the purpose of the church. You see, the purpose of the church is to change us. If you read that whole scripture, what it talks about is taking us from one place to another. Not to be a child, but to get to a place of maturity. Not to be tossed around about with everything that happens around us, everything that's being said around us. Because so often what happens is, we're all great Christians with great faith. And then we go out there and something happens. Life happens. And all of a sudden our faith is gone. Why? Because we're not mature Christians. Because we are still children, not built on the rock. So what the purpose of churches is to change us, to bring us from that place and move us to another place. Verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up his body. You were called for the work of the ministry. You were called by God to go out and make a difference in this world. You were not called to go out and to be tossed around by everything that happens around you. You were not called for that. But you were called to go out and to make a difference in that world. And the church is called to raise you up to that point, to help you to get to that point. And if we come together every Sunday and we just hear nice sermons and we just go for that nice fuzzy feeling and everything, you're never going to get there. You're not going to change. Yes, I agree that when it comes to church, we need to come to church, we need to encourage each other, we need to love each other. The love of Christ needs to be visible between us. So yes, all of that's part of church. But the main purpose of church is to build you up for the work of the ministry so that you can go out and make a difference. So something needs to change. Now, we need to get to that place where we say, Lord, less of me and more of you. That's the change we're talking about. So you see, God needs to transform us. From being one thing, he needs to transform us to be something else. So you need to become a transformer. You can't be a car or a buggy or a truck all your life, like in the movies. You need to become a warrior for Christ. Something needs to change. And God is the only one that can transform you, nothing else. You can't transform yourself. You can try, but you're not going to make it. You need God in your life to transform you to be what he called you to be. So we all need God. Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So how are you going to change? How are you going to be transformed? How are you going to move from one place, from like being a child, to being mature in Christ? Your mind needs to be renewed. That's what Scripture says. What does it mean? It means you need to start to think differently. It means that the way that we think about things is not necessarily right. And that needs to change. You agree with me? So we need to look at things differently. We need to think differently about things. And when we do, we'll be transformed. We're going to be transformed to the image of Christ. If we get to that place of transforming or changing, renewing our minds. But you see, I think one of the problems with most of us is we like to be right. We don't often like to change our way of thinking. No, it works like this, and it works like this, and it works like this. Why do you always say, no, it doesn't work like this, it works like that now. Then we want to defend our way of thinking. But our minds need to be renewed. If we can't renew our minds, if we can't change our way of thinking about things, you're going to stay the same. You're going to miss God. So we need to change. So, protocol. I said this morning we're talking about protocol. So we're just done with the introduction now. What is protocol? I'm just kidding. What is protocol? Protocol is a correct way or a certain way of doing things. And if we talk this morning about protocol of getting into the presence of God, what it refers to, it says that there's a certain way to approach God. But before we go into that, I just want to say something just so that we all can be sure that there's no misunderstanding here. Like I said in the beginning, you can come to God just the way you are. So don't think, but now it's going to be a religious thing. We're going to put down laws now. It's not what's going to happen. You don't have to dress a certain way to approach God. You don't have to go to certain places to get into God's presence. You can be driving in your car, worshiping, and be in God's presence. You can be at home, whether it's in front of the TV, or whether it's kneeling at the side of your bed, and you can be in the presence of God. So it's not a law thing, but now this is the steps of getting into God's presence. It's not like that. God receives us the way we are. We can go to God with all the sins and everything in our lives, and He's there to receive you. He opens up His arms and He wants to have a relationship with you. But do we really honor God when we walk into His presence? So when it comes to protocol, I want to underline the word honor. Do we realize who we're meeting with? When we get to that place of approaching God, do we do it in honor? If I look at the Bible, there's two scriptures I want to read about Jesus, where we can see the way Jesus was approached. And the first one is when He was born, Matthew 2, from verse 9 to 11. After listening to the king, talking about the wise men, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child of Mary. They saw Jesus, the child of with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped Him. Then opening their treasures, they offered Him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So what we see here is people approaching Jesus, coming to Jesus, just worshipping Him, bringing offers to Him. But the point I want to make here is what they're doing is they're honoring God for who he is. That's what they're doing. And next scripture is Matthew 21 from verse 7. This is where Jesus came on the donkey to Jerusalem. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and He sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before Him and that followed Him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" So I want you to think about this picture that we're talking about. You've got Jesus on a donkey coming to Jerusalem, and while he's coming, people take off their jackets and stuff and they throw it in the road while he comes past. So that donkey isn't only going to step on it. Something else might happen to your jacket as well while it's on the ground there underneath the donkey, if you get what I'm saying. But it didn't bother them. They were honoring God. And remember, back in those days, your cloak represented who you are. I just realized it now while I'm saying this. Your cloak represented who you are. And they took off their cloaks. And they threw it on the ground in front of their donkey. Because Jesus came past. So they laid down. Actually, what they did is they laid down who they were for him. It's like putting down your honor and say, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you. So what I see there is this whole thing of honoring. How they honored God. And the question I'm asking is, when we get into the presence of God, do we really honor him? That's a protocol I'm talking about. Do we really honor God for who he is? Or do we rush in there for different reasons? You remember I said earlier that there's a certain trend in churches these days. I remember the last time, I think it was in Piquet Bath, where some pastors came together and we just spoke about things and we asked each other how's it going, and everyone said the same thing, and it really bothered me. But why is it like this in all churches? Why do we have this trend? Maybe I must first say this. You know, Jesus wants to live inside of you. Now, I think so often what we do is we come to church and we've got this thing, if only today Jesus can visit me. If only maybe today while we're in worship, if he can only visit me. But the thing is, Jesus doesn't want to visit you. He comes to stay. He wants to come and live inside of you. So that you at any time can call out to him and be in his presence. Again, if we talk about those things about church and expectations of church, a church is not supposed to put me into the in the presence of God. You need to invite Christ in. And then you can step into his presence wherever you want, whenever you want. You don't need church for that. That's not the purpose of church. But back to the whole thing about the trend that I'm noticing, or that all pastors basically are noticing. You see, it's like I said, we can meet with God wherever we go, anywhere out there. So you don't have to come to church to meet with God. But once a week, what happens is you get the opportunity where the body of Christ comes together. Once a week, you get the opportunity to worship the King of Kings together as his body. Once a week, we get into that place where as a body, we can come together and trust God for a word to give us direction, to show us what he want to do. Once a week, we get that opportunity. Because on our own, normally what we do is it's me and you time. It's that intimate time with God, because where you pour out your heart in front of God about the things you're struggling with. On your own also, you can be there and you can bring nations in front of God. But once a week, we get to that place where we get the opportunity to together worship this king. Together, cry out to him. And there's something different about that than just being on your own. Because if you go read the Bible, what you'll see is God didn't call lone rangers to all be out there on their own to change the world. He called his body for that. If you go look at that scripture we read in the beginning about the prophets and the apostles and all of them, he called them for his body. To raise his body up to go out and to make a difference. So once a week we get that opportunity to come together as his body. What we were called for, that purpose, and to meet with him together, get into his presence together, hear from him together, and then we don't pitch. And that's the trend I'm talking about. So I'm sorry if I am going to step on toes now. I don't understand that thing of going to church every second or third week. I don't. Or maybe pitching at church after the worship. I don't understand that. Sorry to say it, but I don't. Because we were called for a certain purpose. And my question is, are we fulfilling that purpose? The church were called for something for a specific purpose. And it's impossible for the church to fulfill that purpose in your life if you're not pitching for it. Now, I know sometimes we've got need to go to our parents and that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about staying at home, sitting at home, don't feel like church today. That's what I'm talking about. I don't understand that. I honestly don't. And like I said in the beginning, there's sometimes it's easy for us to say to God, God, we love you. It's easy to sing songs where we say, Lord, it's all about you. But if I walk in after the worship, if I come to church every Sunday when the worship is done, with my actions, what I'm actually saying is, Lord, not all about you. I'm skipping the worship part. I'll come for the sermon because maybe I get something out of that. Because you see, I'm coming to church to get something there. I'm not coming to bring. I'm not interested in what you've got to say to your body during worship. I'm not interested of stepping into your presence and meeting with you. But I'll come to see if your church maybe can do something for me. I know this is hard. And I know and I believe that our intention is not that. If you ask any person between us now, I know everyone will say, but just, I can see it, but I didn't thought about it that way. I didn't realize what I was doing. I didn't realize that through my actions, I was not honoring God. You understand what I'm trying to say? I don't want anyone to feel condemned, but it's important for us to realize and to understand where we at, what we're busy doing. And to be honest with you, I'm not going to do it, but I should preach the same sermon for the next 3 weeks if I want everyone in church to hear it. Think about it. Because we're in this trend of I'm going to church once in 2 or 3 weeks. You can look in Acts. They was in church every day. Every day. They had a desire to meet with God. And yes, they could have met with him on their own, in their cars, at their homes, that kind of stuff. But they had a desire to come together as the church that they were called for. And to get into his presence. And today we're not there. And remember in the beginning we spoke about challenges. We spoke about our way of thinking that needs to change. This is what we're talking about. We need to see this different. Because if we're not going to look at this differently, we are not going to change. We're going to stay the same. And the church, as it is today, is not able to turn around this world. Something needs to change first. And it doesn't help that we pray for revival and think, okay, but now somewhere God is going to do something miraculous. And then after that, He can come. The revival needs to start in your own heart and in my own heart. When we get to that place of saying, Lord, I'm laying down myself. I'm taking off my cloak today and I'm putting it down in front of you because it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about my comfort. It's not about me liking it to stay at home every second Sunday and to sleep in a little bit. It's all about you. If we go to a rugby game, we don't pitch halfway through the game. We're in the beginning. Why? Because it's important to us. But when it comes to church, you get what I'm saying? This Lord, this God of us, of ours, deserves more than that. This God of ours deserves that we lay down our lives. We can't get back to that point of crucifying Him again. We passed that. And God is calling out to His church to die for Him. Where we say, Lord, it's not about me, but it's all about You. He's calling out to us to get to that place. And how are we going to be honest out there with the world if we can't be honest with each other in here? You know, so often, I think by myself, you know, while spending time with God and stuff, then God gives me a word for the next week or for the Sunday, whatever, and then normally, I just think, Lord, isn't there something nice? Now, isn't there something nice that we can talk about in church? And He always reminds me, saying, no, you're not called for that. The church is not called for that. So when you get to church, you need to give people the raw truth. Don't cover it up. Don't color it in. We need to realize what we were called for. Each of us, when we gave our lives to Jesus, we said, Lord, I lay down my life for You. I give my life to You. No longer my life, Your life now. And the moment He asks us something, you know, I'll check my program. And I'm not talking about church stuff. I'm talking about when God lays something on your heart. When you walk in a mall and God tells you, that person. Then it's that thing of, Lord, you know, if that person passed me three times, then I'll give him the word. Hello? When God said to Abraham, put Isaac on the altar, you know what he did? Scripture says the next morning, He didn't say, Lord, give me confirmation. I mean, this is something big now. The son You gave to me, You're telling me to put him on the altar. So I need at least three confirmations on this one. Scripture says the next morning, He took His son and He went up a mountain. So when God speaks to us, we need to act on it. Immediately. Need to get over ourselves and get to the point where we allow Him to live through us. And the more we do it, the more we will see Christ glorified through our lives. When it comes to church on a Sunday, the thing I want to challenge you on is to come prepared to church. Don't come to church with this thing, okay, I wonder if I'm going to get something today. Come to church with this thing, Lord, what do You want from me today in church? You know, on a Saturday before, what I normally do, on Saturday evenings, I always go to bed early. And what I do when I go to bed early is I talk to the Lord and I say, Lord, please talk to me tonight. While I'm sleeping tonight, please talk to me. Please come and do inside of me what you want. Please show me what you want. Please just open up your heart to me. What's on your heart for tomorrow? My sermon is prepared. Everything's done. But Lord, what's on your heart for tomorrow? See, on a Saturday evening, I just get into that place of starting to prepare myself to meet with the King of Kings on a Sunday morning. And what happens is, like last week, for instance, I stood up Sunday morning with two scriptures. On Sunday mornings, I get up between 5 and 5:30 to spend time with God. And what happened last Sunday is I got up, but when I put my foot on my feet on the ground, I had these two scriptures in my head. And I had to go and I go and read these two scriptures. And I'm not sure why God gave me the scriptures. So what I did is I just took it out of East Ward and put it there one side on my iPad. And in church last Sunday, while worshiping, God said, the sermon you prepared for today is not for today. You're going to preach a different message today. And I'm like, oh, Lord. About what, Lord? I already gave you the scriptures this morning. And I preached on that. Why does that happen? Because I come prepared. Not my message prepared. Prepared to meet with God. And to see what He wants for His body for today. So I want to challenge you that every Sunday before you come to church, don't come with that thing of what I'm going to get out of church today. But rather come with that sacrifice. Come up with that thing of, Lord, here I am, what do you want from me? Because maybe there's someone in church that needs a word this morning. Because then God could have given you that word to give to that person today. And that person could have walked out of church and said, but I met with God today because of the word that you gave him. But that's, you're only going to get to that place if we start to honor God for who we are, for who He is. And when we get to that place where we lay down our lives and we're willing to make sacrifices. Remember what I said in the beginning? Jesus loves you just the way you are. If you do none of this, He's still going to love you. You're probably still going to go to heaven. But you're going to miss your calling on earth. You're going to miss what He created you for. Because you weren't created only to go to heaven. You were created to be changed, to be more like Him, and to represent Him as an ambassador for Him. That's what you were created for. And only once we move into that place of sacrificing ourselves, and when we move into that place of really honoring Him, realizing who He is, and honor Him for who He is, prepare ourselves to meet with Him, that can start to be fulfilled in our lives. Because so often we're in that place where we say, but I don't hear the voice of God. I'm not sure what His purpose is for me. And what He's saying to you now is, lay down your life and you will find out. Lay down your life and you will know. The world tells us everything is a quick fix. You pay something, you get something. Church doesn't work that way. God's kingdom does not work that way. He's asking everything of you. Everything. And the more you seek Him, the more you will find Him. Sus, you guys can come for the worship, please. So back to what I said in the beginning, the purpose of church is to challenge you. The purpose of church is for you to be transformed to what He called you to be. The purpose of church is not to give you a nice message every single Sunday where we go out and we feel, oh, so nice. This thing I heard, you know, it's all about me. It's not the purpose of church. You see, it's all about the King of Kings. It's all about Him. It's not about us. It's all about Him. I want to ask the question, who is this God that we are worshiping? You know, I realized that He's our Father. I realize that He wants that kind of relationship with us. But we still need to honor Him. With my own parents, yes, we've got a great relationship, me and my dad. But I will always honor Him. There's certain things I'll never say to Him. There's certain things certain ways I'll never react in front of Him. Because I honor Him. Now, I realized with God, and I did it myself, there were stages in my life where I was really cross with God. And I was able to go to God and say, Lord, but this and that, and He's fine with it. You don't have a problem with that. We can come to Him in full honesty. He don't want you to put up another face when you come to Him. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about our actions. We need to honor God with our actions, with everything we do. We need to glorify Him. Who is this God? I'm going to tell you who is this God. He's our Abba Father. Adonai, our advocate. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's all sufficient. He's Almighty God, the Ancient of Days. He's the Anointed One, He's the Author, and He's the Finisher. He's the beginning, and He's the end. He's our blessed hope, our bread of life. He's called the Bridegroom. He's the bright and morning star. He's Christ, He's the Chosen One, our hope of glory. He's our cornerstone. He's an all-consuming fire. That's our God. He's our comforter, our counselor. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's our deliverer. He is the door. He's Elohim, which means the Most High God. He's eternal life. He's the everlasting King. You notice if you look at the alphabet, we're at E. You know, if we go into the names of God and what He represents, I can give you more than 900 names today of who He is. And this God is calling out to you. This God wants to call you my son, my daughter. This God chose to let His only Son die so that He can have a relationship with you. You know, the price for your life is paid for. There's nothing you can do to earn your place in front of Him. This God is calling out to you this morning. He's calling you back to that place of standing in front of Him and honoring Him. Because you know, the moment we walk into our purpose, we honor Him with our actions. Yes, Father, this morning we just want to declare, Father, that it's all about You. We want to thank You, Father, for the price that was paid for each of us. Thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Father, that You've sent Jesus to pay a price for us so that we can be saved. Thank You, Father, that we can know that we can come to You just the way we are and You'll receive us. Thank You, Father, that we can know that when You look at us with all our sin and with everything inside of us, You still love us. There's nothing we can do to earn Your love, Father. Thank You, Father, that this morning we know that You're inviting us to